Go ahead and be open up to John 14. I'm going to do a little review and then go on a little bit more tonight. Let me have mercy on you a little bit. Take notice of the clock, okay? How many of you were not here last night? Can I see your hands? I just need to kind of know where to start, okay? Sue and I got born again, Spirit-filled, in 1980. Both of us, as young people in church, had walked the aisle, I at 7 and Sue at 9. We tried to live for the Lord, you know, but be honest with you, we were starving to death in the kind of churches we grew up in. There was so little of the Word taught. And it'd be nice to blame it on them. I could have stayed loyal, but I didn't, and Sue didn't either. And we drifted far away from the Lord. And so last night I gave the testimony of how the Lord got us back, because I had made up my mind that I was never going to darken a church door again. I just wasn't going to do it. So the Lord loved me too much to leave me in that condition, because I was very, at that point in my life, I was about 33 years old, maybe 32, making a lot of money. If you don't, you know, we were in the real estate business, and Sue was good at it, and I was good at it. And then plus, I managed a real estate office of 60 some odd agents, and so I got a little piece of all that they made. We each had a brand new Cadillac car, and we lived in the right part of town in the right kind of a house, and I had custom-made suits, and I just want to let you know that's who we were. Now, on the inside, we were a mess. I was an alcoholic. I was a functional alcoholic. I could really do business well. You probably wouldn't know that I'd been drinking, but I was never not drinking. I mean, if I was awake, I was drinking, sipping that Southern Comfort and other assorted things. We were dying. We were dead on the inside. It was no life at all. On the outside, according to everything by the world, we were doing great. On the inside, we were an absolute wreck. So God sends this little guy named Michael Muccio, and I'm not going to go into much detail, but he basically came across into, like a guerrilla fighter, into enemy territory. And the Lord used a unique strategy to get us saved. And after about 6 months, we did get saved. Got filled with the Spirit this time. And I got to tell you, Michael Muccio was a good teacher. And everything, to this day, we can't remember anything he taught us that was wrong. And we grew. We really grew. One thing about Michael, he taught us what faith is. See, a lot of people don't know what faith is. They think faith, you know, well, today I feel good and there's money in I got money in my wallet, there's gas in the car, and the kids are okay, and I'm okay, and I'm not sick, and I'm healthy, and today I'm saved. Tomorrow, it's cloudy and rainy, I had a flat tire, my washing machine quit, my husband talked ugly to me, the kids are a mess, and I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Well, that's roller coaster Christianity. If you're going to live like that, you're going to be, you know, up and down and all over the place. And really, faith has nothing to do with that. Faith only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's say it a little differently. Faith believes what God says. Amen. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter. You know, if God says it's so, it's so. And that's what faith is. The very night that I got born again, to be honest with you, I mean, I love to hear conversion stories, you know, about, I'll tell you, when I got saved, my goosebumps had goosebumps, and I heard Gabriel's trumpet and a brush of an angel wing across my... I love hearing that, you know, that kind of thing. But for me, the day I got saved, it was the deadest, driest thing you ever... You ever laid a dead fish on a doorknob? It was about like that. It was just... Nothing. Just nothing at all. I mean, you know. And immediately I heard this voice on the inside. You know, it was the devil. I know it now. It was the enemy. He was going, it didn't work for you. You're not saved. You know, you walked away from God already. He's not going to take you back. You've done too much. And I had done a lot. I was 30 some odd years old. 33. And this voice said, it's too late for you. You're not saved. Didn't work for you. You didn't feel nothing. All of that's true. You know, I didn't feel anything. In fact, and the last thing it said was, besides that, you got a headache. And I went, oh. And I did. But Michael had taught me what faith was. And I went right back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. That was the verses that I said, look, it says right here. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, thou shalt be saved. I believe it. I believe it in my heart. I say it with, I wasn't real sure what He is my Lord meant, but whatever it means, I mean it. I knew somehow He was going to be boss. I knew that much, you know. And that voice came again, just as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. It says, didn't work for you. You walked away from Him. He's not going to take you back. You've done too much. It's too late. This war went on that whole evening, and I didn't feel anything. I mean, I didn't feel nothing. And so I'd read it again. I got Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now see, I didn't know it then. Did you know I was doing exactly what Jesus did when He got tempted by the devil? Did you ever read that in the wilderness where the devil come and tempted Him those three times? What did He use? It is written. It is written. It is written. I didn't know it, but I was doing exactly the same thing. And that's really what faith is. Faith believes what God says. It doesn't matter whether I felt saved. It doesn't matter whether I felt different. What matters is, what did God say? Well, this warfare went on, and I finally went to bed that night with it still going on. I hadn't had a goosebump yet. Woke up the next morning, and it's like the devil was sitting on the foot of my bed waiting for me to wake up. I opened my eyes, and the first thing I heard was, you're not saved. Didn't work for you. You walked away from God. He's not going to take you back, and you still got a headache. And I went, ooh. And I did, you know. And I said, well, my goodness. So here I go. I get that Romans 10, 9, and 10 out. No, it's on again. You know, off and on all day long, this war went on. Just on the inside of me, you know. And I've got to tell you, it would have been easy. You know, we're kind of raised to live by what we feel. We're kind of raised that way. It would have been so easy. I thank God for Michael lovingly hammering us with what faith is. If he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have been prepared for the warfare that I was in. Here we go, all that day, you know. Oh, Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says right here, Romans 10, 9, and 10. I don't know how many times. Went to bed that night, still had the headaches, still that voice was going on. But I got to tell you, that third morning, I woke up and even my emotions knew I was saved. I mean, the grass was greener. The sky was bluer. When I walked, I wasn't sure my feet were touching the ground. Me and Jesus had a thing going on, I mean. I drove, if you've ever been to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I drove across that muddy Arkansas River, and I thought that's got to be the most beautiful river that ever existed. Now, you've got to be saved to think the Arkansas is pretty. I'm telling you right now, it's an ugly old river. But I said, surely those waters must proceed from the throne of God. That Tulsa's framed by these little old hills, you know, not mountains or hills, but they got these scrub oaks. You know, y'all have beautiful tall trees here. We got scrub oak and blackjack. Yeah. But I looked at those hills and I said, those have got to be the hills of the mountains of Zion, surely. I mean, the emotions were there that day. Even my emotions knew I was saved. Now the question is, did I just get saved on the third day? See, I was just as saved on the first day as I was on the third day. Now a lot of people don't have that foundation. I call it Faith 101. And if you don't have it, this church, you come long enough. See, I'm not here really to teach. I'm going to be here five services. All I can do is like, I feel like I'm skimming a rock across the water. Do you ever skim a rock? Goes, all I can do is just kind of hit some high points here, these five services, and give you some examples of things that's happened in our life. But I'm hoping to put hunger in you. Amen. Hunger. And also somehow, if you want to change, you can change. If you want more of Him in your life, you can have more of Him in your life. If you want to see more happen when you pray, I'm telling you, there's ways to do that. He's given us tools for that. But I never knew it. I never knew it till. But anyway, so, man, we're saved. Well, shortly thereafter, I got saved on the 4th of July. Sue, if she was here, she'd give you her testimony. She said, I was going to watch Gary first and see if it was real. You know, we were partiers, and we worked hard. We made a lot of money, and we partied hard, I got to tell you. And she wasn't sure, you know, whether she wanted to give up the club. I mean, you know, the club life and everything. I used to, I don't want to go into that too much, but the kind of life we had, I mean, we'd really work now, and we worked hard. We'd go to those clubs on Friday and Saturday night, and I made a lot of money, and I wanted people to know it. Now, this was in 1979, and I'd leave it, at the end of the night, I'd leave a $200 tip just because I could. No one would know I could. It's that kind of life, okay? But I want you to know, when Jesus got a hold of me, I have never been back to another bar since. I mean, that whole world and the world of money and fame and all of that kind of stuff just left me. Well, to a large extent. We'll get into some other parts here in a little bit. But anyway, so now we're wanting to serve Jesus. She got saved in September, and we started wanting to grow, and Michael was there for a while and teaching us, and we grew some. But to be honest with you, it was 12 more years before we discovered the prayer center and Pastor Dave Roberson and his teachings. Those first 12 years, we did everything that we could trying to serve Jesus. Now I got to shorten it up. I hear him saying, okay, he wants to go somewhere tonight. So get last night's tape. Anyway. What we did, whatever was available, that's what we would do. Michael eventually moved to another state. He had a prison ministry. So we just took over that prison ministry. We did that for 12 years. No, 6 years. Other things would come available. I taught Bible studies. And God did stuff. I mean, people got saved. People got filled with the Holy Ghost. People got healed to some degree. But it always seemed like, you know, it was just, we were doing the best we could. But we understood faith to a certain extent, but what we didn't know very much about was the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was talking about last night. I was going, you know, I would read it. Last night we spent some time in Acts 16. See, the churches I grew up in, the credo was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's good, isn't it? Except, you know, you get to Acts 16 and they were going to go into Ephesus, and it says the Spirit suffered them not. And I'm going, now, don't we have chapter and verse? Isn't Asia, Ephesus, Asia, isn't that in the world? Don't we have chapter and verse, go ye into all the world? What do you mean the Spirit suffered them not? Then they were going to go into Bithynia. And they weren't permitted to do that either. And then it says, as they continued to seek the Lord, the Holy, in the night, it said Paul had a vision. I don't know whether it was a dream or a vision that appeared after night. But in that vision, they saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I was saying last night, you know, if I didn't know what to do, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if I'm trying to figure out where do I go next, and God sends me a vision, and somebody in the vision says, come to Macedonia, I think even I would get that. And I said, is there leadership available like that today? Did that just all end at the end of the first century? You know, is there leadership available like that? I didn't really know. For years I didn't know. Well, we did the best we could, and God will bless that walk. I mean, it's okay. You can't do anything for the Lord. He says you can't give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. Now, He'll bless whatever you're doing for Him. But if there is a way, see, I used to be so jealous of Peter, James, and John. I said, my goodness, they knew, they didn't have to guess what to do every day. They would hear from you. So last night we got into John 14 here, where Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit. He was telling them that He was about to leave. But He says, and you know, I'm sure they said, well, what do you mean you're leaving? We've been following you for 3.5 years. Is this over? He says, no, I'm going to send you another comforter. And He is going to abide with you forever. In other words, I'm having to leave, but this one that's coming, He's never going to leave you. So let's just review quickly a few things that He said about this comforter. Because if you really want to, I'm just telling you now, there is no real following Jesus without becoming acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the comforter that has been sent to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. So it's a matter of learning how to hear and follow what the Holy Spirit tells you, because He brings you the mind of Christ. So here's a few things quickly. We're still reviewing pretty much from last night. Look at John 14, 16. It says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. In other words, He's not going to be leaving like I am. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. And notice verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now that word comfortless in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, orphanos. What He's really saying, I will not leave you as orphans. Man, when that finally went off in me, Because that's exactly the way I had felt pretty much for 12 years. And it's not that Jesus didn't love me. I didn't mean that. I knew He loved me. I knew I was saved. Sue and I had been serving Him. To me, goosebumps are a bonus. I like it when they come. You know, I love it on those days when I'm saved. Y'all know what I mean. I love it on those days where the emotions are there. Oh, you know. But I've learned to love the days where they're not. You know, I mean, I'm saved anyhow. Thank God I still know what faith is. But when it came to leadership, I mean, I've been saved for 12 years. I didn't know what my calling was. What are you? I don't know. A believer? You know, are you? What are you? You know, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, administrations, governments, helps. What are you? I still couldn't tell you. After 12 years, I didn't know. Well, are you doing what He called you to do? I hope so. You know? It was kind of like a scatter shot. You know, you just take a bunch of stuff and you throw it against the wall. You hope something sticks, you know. I hope some of this is His will, you know. Prison ministry and whatever we were doing. But see, when he says, I will not leave you as an orphan. Orphans are the ones. They have to find their own way. They don't have someone to provide for them and teach them, and train them, lead them. The way I see it, here I was, I'm 30 some odd years old at that point. Actually, I guess I was about 40. We were 45 years old the day we walked through the prayer center. To a large extent, I still felt like an orphan. I felt like a little kid. I didn't really feel like I was just doing the best I could, you know, kind of like an orphan would. Boy, if there was some way that I could reach out my hand and put my hand into the hand of the Holy Ghost, and He would start leading me according to the mind of Christ. Somebody tell me about that. If there is a way to do that on purpose, somebody please. And that's what began to happen when we started attending the prayer center. So one of the first things we know about the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead you. He's not going to leave you as an orphan. When this Comforter comes, and notice how Jesus words it. He says, now, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. Well, you'll see what He means here in just a minute. Come on down to verse 26. We're just skimming the highlights here from yesterday. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice, He shall teach you all things. He's going to what? He's going to be your what? He's going to be your teacher. The true teacher of the body of Christ. It's not Gary Carpenter. Sorry. It's not L.A. Lico. It's not Dave Roberson. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, it's fine to come and re-say to you things the Holy Spirit has said to me. But see, you need to get to the place where the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And boy, He's good at what He does now. He's smarter than you are dumb. He knows every life experience you've ever had. Doesn't matter to Him whether you're an eighth grade dropout or a college graduate or got a PhD after your name. He will get it across to you if you know how to release His teaching ministry, you know how to receive it. So He's your teacher. We found out already He's your guide. He's your teacher. Let's come on down a little more. Come on down to chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. Now notice, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Boy, I didn't know what that meant really for a long time. Finally, He got it across to me. When He says there, He shall not speak of Himself, what He's really saying is, look, the Holy Spirit is not coming to replace My Lordship. He's not coming to be your Lord. What He hears, that's what He's going to speak. He's going to take of Mine, and He's going to show it unto you. So what He's really saying now, He's not coming to be your Lord. He is coming to bring you My Lordship. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. He's everywhere all the time. At this very instant, He is with the Father, with the Son in heaven, and He is with each and every believer on planet Earth. It's a master stroke of genius that Jesus could be exalted to the right hand of the Father, yet still be the head of the church, and still be giving precise instructions worldwide to every believer But now, instead of you hearing it from His lips to your ear, you're hearing it by the way of the Holy Spirit. You spend time with the Holy Spirit reveals to you the mind of the living Christ. See, God, when we went into some depth last night on Acts 16, God loves Asia, God loved Ephesus, God loves Bithynia. Later on, He did send Paul to Ephesus, which is what Asia. And they spent 2 years there and had a massive harvest. But see, the Lord is, Jesus is alive and well. He is the head of the church. I want to be able to hear His instructions for me today. I want to hear Him say, go to Oshawa or don't go to Oshawa. I want to hear Him say, stay at a motel or stay at their house. You know, sometimes He tells you one, sometimes the other. You know? Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I don't mean incoming. Just a minute. Oh, man. He loves you guys so much. See, what you've really hungered for, the reason you're here, the reason you're listening to this, if you're hearing this by the internet, it's because of your hunger. You have longed. You're like me. You may not admit it. Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I mean, I want to know what it is You want me to do. And I don't want to be guessing. And I don't want to be at the mercy of other people telling me what You said. Now, there's a place for the prophet in the modern day church, but it's not quite the same as in the Old Testament. I can't get into that very much. Dave says it like this, you know, Pastor Dave. He says, you know, I mean, if God's trying to get something across to me at this point in my walk, I've been listening to Him for years, He should be able to get it across to me. But if it's something He's telling me and I don't want to hear that, and so I've kind of hardened my heart and I'm not hearing Him. And He's desperate to try and get it across to me. You know, He's not beyond sending a prophet. Yeah. A real one. Yeah, thus saith the Lord. But He says to me now, at this stage in my walk, that's an embarrassment to me that He had to go to that length. Because I know He tried to just tell me directly first. Because in our generation, every believer, we have the capacity to hear Him for ourselves. If you know how. So there's a place for the prophet. I know a couple of them. But their ministry is a little different. In the Old Testament, Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, they couldn't hear God. They didn't have a nature to hear God. We can't get into that tonight too much. All right. Hang on. Let me regather myself. Okay. Let's go on a little bit more. So that verse 13 there, he says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now that's enough for tonight. That's a fair review from yesterday. So I began to see that this Holy Spirit, if I'm going to really follow Jesus, then I'm going to have to get acquainted with this ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I finished last night with this sentence. Some of you weren't here, so I want to say it again. The sin of the church, let's say it this way, the sin of religion when Jesus was walking the earth. The Pharisees, the scribes, those that would not receive Him. They rejected the Son who had been sent to reveal the Father. The sin of the modern day church that we live in today, I mean the church at large, for the most part, they have rejected the Holy Spirit who has been sent to reveal the Son. They rejected Him. It's not that they deny that He exists, but they really don't have much to do with the Holy Ghost. They don't know how to hear the Holy Ghost. A lot of things that said, supposedly, that are the Holy Ghost, they're not. So we started attending the prayer center, 1992, Pastor Dave Roberson, yes sir, I'll go ahead and tell you this part. In our 12-year journey leading up to that, we had done about everything we could do to serve God. And it was all okay. Again, I want to say it again. I mean, you can do anything. You can start passing out tracts. You can feed the homeless. You can go to a senior center and start talking to people about Jesus. Make sure that they're born again before they go off. There's nothing like that. You can come up with anything like that. And he'll bless it to a certain degree. But what you'll find, if you're generating those thoughts yourself, It's okay, but it's kind of like taking a bath with your clothes on. It's better than nothing, but something's just not right. You know? And that's the way we felt. It was okay, but that we knew there was a higher walk than that. So we get there, the pastor, Dave, now to go ahead and turn over to Romans 8. And again, there is no way in the world in five services I can teach you the mechanics of this very much. That's why God has Mike O'Brien here. That's why God has Pastor Legault here. They have studied and learned. And if you want to know the nuts and bolts, that's why they called him here to pastor this church and to teach. Plus, we have the websites available, which you could find out through the church. I have one called GaryCarpenter.org. There's only about 500 lessons there. By the way, you can afford them. They're free. Dave Roberson has a website, DaveRoberson.org. But I encourage you to come here and be taught by people that have been assigned by God to teach this in Canada. You know, it's one thing. Another thing is to be assigned by God to do something. And they've got that mantle on their life. So, well, Romans chapter 8. So how do you... Oh, yes, sir. Okay, Sue and I had served the Lord for 12 years. We had done the best we could. But I got to tell you, about 5 years before we discovered the prayer center, we got really hurt in the church. Nobody intended to hurt us, but we got hurt anyway. And it was pretty devastating. We had poured our life into this church for several years. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it's like all hell just came against us. I don't know how else to put it. And in about 30 days, that church was no more. And we were devastated. We didn't know what to think. For the next 5 years, we just kind of drifted. We never did go back to the bars or back into sin or anything like that. But we really didn't trust church anymore. We didn't trust pastors anymore. And even as I say that, I don't have any hard feelings. I mean, he was as much destroyed as the rest of us. Nobody was trying to hurt anybody. I'm probably the only one that ever got hurt in the church. But anyway, for 5 years, we just... And looking back on it now, we never said these words. But as I look back on it, by our actions, this is what we did. Okay, devil, let's make a truce. Sue and I are not going to try and get the whole world saved anymore. We're just going to stay saved ourselves and try and raise our kids. And without saying these words now, but by our actions, it was, you know, you leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. He's not going to do that. I mean, he only knows how to do three things in one part, and that's kill, steal, and destroy. That next 5 years, now again, it's not that we went back into sin. We didn't at all. But we were not in church. We were not faithful. We had no vision. We were just existing. What do you mean by that? Well, we were getting up. We were going to work. We were raising our kids. Work all day. You come home. You fix supper. You spend an hour, a little bit with your kids. You watch TV and you go to bed. You go, well, that sounds like my life now. Well, you're dead and don't know it. If that's your life, I'm telling you, you fell into a trap. You'll 30 years will go by and you'll wake up and you'll wake up one day. How did I get to be 60? Where did my life go? All of a sudden, you know, that's Mark 4. That's the cares of this world and just the daily life, the things that go on, and it'll steal your life. And you, wasn't I going to do something for Jesus? Where did that go? Well, that's kind of where we were. During that 5-year period, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. They gave me 6 months to live. Yeah, I had melanoma cancer, and they said, this is the most deadliest, fastest spreading kind. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston. But young man, if I was you, I'd get my affairs in order. I don't think you have 6 months. Well, that's great. During that same period of time, we have 3 daughters that were all teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has 3 daughters that are all teenagers. And they all went into rebellion at the same time. And I mean, you know, heavy rebellion. You'd say, oh, well, they were acting up, were they? Let me tell you about my youngest one. She was arrested in Mobile, Alabama for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. We're not talking a little bit of stuff here, okay? And they were talking about a 12-year prison sentence. Oh, and by the way, she was pregnant. Okay, about as bad as it gets. Now that same 5-year period, so here we've got terminal cancer, all 3 children in rebellion, one of them looking at a 12-year prison stint. Sue developed a sack of blood on the inside of her in her private parts. They just kept getting bigger. We didn't know what it was. We just knew there was this painful thing that kept getting bigger and bigger. It turned out to be we finally had surgery on that thing. It was an 8-pound blood mass that had accumulated on the inside of her that had putrefied. If that thing would have ruptured on the inside of her, it would have killed her within an hour. Now, we didn't know yet about the leadership of the Spirit. All we knew was what faith was. And I thank God we knew what faith was. Because we kept going to God's Word. We found the scriptures that covered our case. Found scriptures for healing that we put in our mouth. We would say them and say them and say them and say them. Now we still have to deal with things. Don't get me wrong. We still had to, to deal with stuff. We found scriptures that covered our daughter's case. Can the prayer of the mighty be delivered? And, it says, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children, from Isaiah. And we'd quote scriptures over our family. And the Lord, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivered us out of them all, just like it says. But I'm telling you, that 5 years was 5 years of hell on earth. Well, now we're coming up to right before the time. In fact, it was Saturday night. And we're in our living room, and we're going, things have got to change. We can't, if life keeps going like this, look at this. It's war after war after war. He's tried to kill you. He's tried to kill me. He's tried to kill our kids. And we still had no home church. We would visit church from once in a while, but just nothing felt like home, And so the operative word Saturday night was change. Things have got to change. If we don't change, the devil's going to kill us. We have got to get back really in fellowship with God and get in a church and get a vision again, And so how are things going to change? Well, bless my wife's darling little heart. We had tried quite a few churches. We had a lot of good churches in Tulsa. And we had tried quite a few of them. But none of them just didn't seem like home. She says, remember that Dave Roberson guy that we saw years ago once? Remember how funny he was? I was driving down Union the other day, and I saw he's got a church down here now. I said, why don't we give him a try? And I did remember him. We had seen him once way many years before. I remembered he had a mustache in those days, and he was funny. I said, we'll go give him a try. But boy, something's got to change. I want you to remember that word, change. So Sunday morning, we got up, got dressed. We didn't know any better. I put on a suit and tie. That's an inside joke for any of you that know the prayer center. And we drive to the prayer center and go in there. And be honest with you, I was leery. We'd been hurt bad. I did not want to get hurt bad again. I just wanted to come and test the waters. Did y'all ever want to go somewhere and just test the waters? So we come into church. We're trying not to, be seen much. And so over on the left side, there was kind of quite a few people, and there's some empty spaces in the middle. So we thought, okay, we can kind of hide there. So we just went over there, and we were trying to just blend in with the crowd, Well, that day, of course, it's our first service there. And I don't know how else to tell you. Wasn't that worship glorious tonight? I felt the presence of God. I don't know who it was in those days that was doing the worship. I call it worship to slip your wrist by. It was the worst I'd ever heard in my life. It was kind of a piano bar worship, let's all worship the Lord. Hey, kind of like the woman from Ipanema, elevator music worship. I don't know what you'd call it. And I'm thinking to myself, I haven't seen Dave or anything yet. I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're about to find out if this guy's from God or not. Because if you can come out after that. Bless their hearts. I'm sure they were. It was awful. Well, here comes Dave. And he stands up there. And he walks up to the platform. I still remember the words. He says, now watch out. And remember, it's worship to slit your wrist by. Now watch out. Your feet just might start getting a little bit happy. You might just want to start dancing. And I'm going to that. You would have thought the man had just stepped out of the throne room with the glory of God all over him and had just stepped out of the presence with angels singing. He just stepped out there and started ministering. And I'm going, well, okay. He's not moved by what he saw. I know he's a man of faith. And now remember, we're just trying to blend in. We're just wanting to test the waters. Mm-hmm. He wasn't not more than 5 minutes, maybe somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes into the service. And all of a sudden, he just started. Now, we were sitting over in that section, about the middle. It's a lot bigger place. We're hiding, right? And he's in the middle. He's looking this way, and it's just like all of a sudden, he just stopped, and he kind of looked over in our area, and part of me went, uh-oh. And he started walking right down towards us, you know? And I'm just kind of automatically slumping down in my seat. And he comes right, and he goes, you two right there. And I'm going, no, you two. And I'm going, yes, you two. He says, I saw the hand of God come down on you two right there. He says, would you mind stepping out in the aisle? Let me pray for you. And part of me wanted to go, we're new. We just came to test the waters. Pray for them. Pray for them over there. You know? But you don't do that. You're too embarrassed to do that, you know? So, okay. So we come out in the aisle. And we're there. And here he comes, you know. Those of you that know Pastor Dave at all, he kind of gets that dreamy-eyed look. He's somewhere between heaven and earth, you know? Now listen to what he says. Remember our conversation the night before? He walks up to us and he says, I see the word change like a banner right over your heads. He says, you both need change and the blessings of God, don't you? And I'm going, yeah, we do. And I knew right then, I already knew that the Holy Spirit had my number. There was no way for him to know that. The only person in that living room with us the night before was the Holy Ghost. Somehow this man was receiving information that he had no natural way of knowing. He come and he just, I don't remember hardly anything he said after that. He just walked up and he just put his hand on my cheek. Just touched me. I didn't know there was any catchers behind me. You know, they're all trained. They knew what to do. You know, there was a guy behind. I didn't know it. He touched me. I heard a crackle like you would take two electric wires, you know, two live electric wires and spark them together. To me, it sounded like that. I went flying back. I thank God there was catchers there. I don't have any idea what happened to Sue. I'm already gone at that point. I'm on the floor, you know. And I don't know how long I laid there. Now, he prayed for Sue. I think she went down too. I'm not even sure. But when I hit the floor, I mean, I was having this conversation with somebody. I was having this conversation that was saying, this is your home church. This is where I brought you. I brought you here to learn my ways. I've instructed this man to be your teacher. Man, I was hearing all of those kind of things. Sue and I were talking on the way home. Well, listen, that was 19 years ago. We're thinking about making it our home church. We began to listen to Pastor Dave. See, because, listen, at this point, I'm looking around the room. We don't have any brand new Christians in here, I don't think. Maybe we do. But I'm looking around the room. You people are seasoned to a certain extent, okay? It's time to get on with it. You know, isn't that right? Isn't it time to get on with it? Somebody tell me how. I've been in churches, you know, off and on my whole life. I was at the point, if I come to one more service, and the end result of your service is, Gary, you need to walk in more love, I'm going to walk up here and smack you. I knew that before I came to your cotton picking service. Can somebody please tell me how? Or if the end result of your message, after I listen to your expository explanation or whatever, and the end result is, Gary, you need to walk in more faith, I'm going to smack you. I knew that. Can you please tell me how? Or you need to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. I know that. I came here to... Can you teach me how to follow the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit? That's what I need to know. Well, bless God. For the first time in my life, there was a man standing up there telling me the how. The nuts and bolts. Something that I could do if I'm hungry. Now, you don't... Nothing we teach is about going to heaven. Listen to me. Christ and Him crucified is enough to get you to heaven. We're not even talking about that. I'm talking... My message is to the hungry. I mean, I want to spend whatever time I have left. I don't want to even spend it doing my best for Him. I want Him to lead me into whatever it is He has for me, and I don't care if it's an upside down cross. You know what I mean by that? I don't care if it's martyrdom. I don't care, as long as it's Him. Whatever His will is for my life, that's what I want. Well, I began to hear it. So, have you found Romans 8 yet? If you haven't found Romans 8, look on with your neighbor. I got to find it now. I've been talking instead of doing it. And I can only hit the highlights here. Now, again, that's why God has Michael and I lose names when I'm like this and I'm listening to him. You are L.A. That's why he has Michael and L.A. here to teach. I just hit the high points here. So let's hit a few high points. So Romans chapter 8. These are some of the early things that Pastor Dave started teaching about how you find the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, I would love to just do the whole chapter, but we've got to, for sake of time, let's come down to verse 26. Now see, it's hard to start with a verse that says likewise. Well, like what? What he's been talking about in Romans chapter 8 is the new birth. And contrasting that with the people of the Old Testament, like the fellow in Romans 7, the guy in Romans 7, he loves God. He says, with my mind I agree, God, your law is good, I want to keep it. He says, but when I try to keep it, I find there's another law working on the inside of me. And see, this represents everybody who's born of Adam, who's born with that sin nature. Okay, you hear the keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, the Jews tried to do that and found out they couldn't keep it. He says, I wouldn't even know what coveting is unless you said don't covet. As soon as you said don't covet, I coveted. Well, that's the sin nature, see? And so the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because what you'll find out if you try and keep the law with the sin nature, you can't do it. You're flawed at the core. You have to have a Savior. And that's what the law is all about. But the man in Romans 7 who could not keep the law, there's a contrast between him and the man in Romans 8. So let's look at verse 1 of Romans 8 first. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that's born again. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You're not the same creature. You're not, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 will tell you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not the same old creature you were before you got born again. There's a new spirit on the inside of you that has the capacity to be taught by God. And the teacher that he has assigned to teach that new nature is the Holy Ghost. Well, so what he's teaching here, when it says likewise, leading up to verse 26, he's talking about how that new nature that he put on the inside of you helps you overcome the flesh. The guy in Romans 7, he didn't have that nature. He tried to keep the law and he couldn't do it. But if you've been born again, you've got a nature from God. You've got a spirit that's been born in the image of Christ that on the inside of you, helping you overcome the appetites of the flesh and the lusts of the soul. But God didn't just stop there. He says, likewise, in the same way that that new nature is helping you, in that same way, the Spirit, and that's a capital S, and it should be a capital S, the Holy Spirit also helps us our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, for years I did not really get what that meant. What does it mean, groanings which cannot be uttered? What he's saying is, look, you can pray. You can even pray for yourself. Lord, help me be a better this. Help me be a better mother. Help me love my wife more. Help me this and help me that. But pretty soon, y'all ever tried to pray that way? You're going to run out of stuff to pray in about 15 or 20 minutes. You're going to come, you know, bless Uncle Joe, bless Cousin Susie. You know, in your known language, in your articulate speech, you're going to run out of things to pray. And the trouble of it is, most of us would like to change, but most of us don't even know why we do the things we do. We don't even know what's wrong with us. Why do I keep doing that? Why does Gary tend to overeat at every meal? You know, well, why this? Why do I lose my temper and drop it? Why do I do this? Why? He just got through telling the reason that you can't utter it. He just got through telling you, you don't know what you should pray for as you ought. You don't know what's wrong with you. How about some other don't knows? You don't, in the beginning, you don't know what your calling is. In the beginning, to be honest with you, I thought I was called to be a pastor. Why? Well, the denomination I grew up in said everything had passed away except pastor. Pastor, missionary, and Sunday school teacher. That's all there was left. You know? And with my temperament, you know, I probably have called to be a pastor, you know? And without the Holy Spirit's intervention, I probably wouldn't have wound it. I'll just tell you now, I don't know if I get to tell you later, you learn how to do this later on. It was years into this. One day I was just doing what I'm trying to teach you. And suddenly I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He says, you're not a pastor. He's not called you to pastor, and he never will. Now what's the next good question right after that? What am I then? And he told me, he says, you're a teacher. You're a teacher, and there's an office. You know, there's apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's one of the offices. I had no idea. He said, you're a teacher. That's where your anointing is, and that is where your provision is. Don't ever try and pastor. Now, he might allow me to step in and fill in for a pastor. I've done that for Pastor Dave. People call me Pastor Gary all the time. I don't care if they call me pastor. I just know I'm not one. And I really don't have the temperament of a pastor. See, a pastor is another word for shepherd. Teachers are not shepherds. Hey, after about the third time I teach you something and you ain't doing it, I'm going to get that ruler and smack your knuckles. You know, I'm a teacher. I have that anointing. You know, you're going to learn this. Anyway. Well, likewise, the Spirit, He also helps our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, and that's why you can't articulate it in your known language. I didn't even know what to pray for. Make me a great teacher. I didn't know I was a teacher. I didn't know anything. You know, I don't know why I do a lot of the things I do. But notice the next part, and He's not through talking yet. Look at verse 27. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He, that's the Holy Spirit, He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know what God's... The way I see it, let's just say that for teaching purposes tonight, that the center of that aisle right there, let's just say from before the foundation of the world, God knew there was going to be a Gary Carpenter on earth. And if Gary could find it, that right down the center line of that aisle, that would represent God's perfect plan for Gary Carpenter. Trouble of it is, Gary Carpenter didn't get saved until he's 33. I mean, and he's been taught by a sin nature in a fallen world for 33 years. So when God finally gets Gary, I am 42 miles away from that plan. I don't even know I'm called to be in ministry. I'm 42 miles away over here, and I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what I'm in the body of Christ for. I don't know what He's called me to be. I don't know anything. Now, I can pray in English to a certain extent. I love you, God, and I did. I love you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Jesus. But, you know, you're going to run out of that kind of praying pretty quick. But this Holy Spirit, He begins to make intercession for you. And if you learn how to let Him do that, He'll take Gary right over here, 42 miles away from God's plan. And I mean, the minute I allow Him to start making that intercession for me, I can't see it, but in the realm of the Spirit, He is moving me as quickly as possible right back to God's perfect plan. And if I let Him keep making that intercession for me, it won't be long. I'll be right smack in the middle of God's will for my life. Isn't that what it says? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, let's look at a little more detail. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Boy, y'all know. I'm skimming a rock across the waves here. We're just touching the high points. What you'll find is there are four diversities of tongues. There's four different kinds of tongues. Here, this is just real quick to show you there's two different kinds. Everyone knows this one. Acts 2, chapter 4, what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And the people, there were Medes and Persians and all these different people that were there for a festival. And at that time, they heard the people speaking in tongues in their known language. Huh. So people are speaking in tongues, and men understood. Now watch, that's one kind. That's the sign to the unbeliever. Now watch this. This kind of tongue is a different diversity. Look at verse 2. This kind, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Well, that's got to be a different kind, a different diversity of tongue than the one over there in Acts chapter 2. They understood that tongue over there. But this tongue over here is a different one. This is the one that you do for your own personal edification, which he talks about here. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, this kind, speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Let's get a few things straight. Okay, I'm trying to find this communication with the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to not be an orphan anymore. I'm trying to put my hand in his hand and let him start leading me. And I found out already that if I allow him to pray, somehow he's going to pray in a way that I can't articulate with my known language. And it says if I let him do that, that he is making intercession for me according to the perfect will of God. So how's that going to happen? Well, here I'm getting more details. It says if I let him speak in an unknown tongue through me, somehow, two things we see from that verse, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, who are you speaking to? You, for benefit of the tape, there are actually people here. Let's read it again. I'm a teacher. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Who are you talking to?
God.
You're talking to God. And the second thing we know, now no man understands it, but in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. So we know two things now. When you're speaking in this kind of a tongue, you're talking to God, and you're speaking mysteries. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say this. How many of you think you're the one sneaking up on God, and you're explaining mysteries to him? No. He knows all the mysteries already. We're the ones that don't know what our calling is. We're the ones that don't know what's wrong with us. We don't know the plan of God. No. What's going on there? You're communicating and speaking with God, all right. But he is the one explaining mysteries to you. It's a masterstroke of genius. It's like God looked down through the ages and he says, well, these people are going to get born again. They're going to love God, all right, but they're a little bit slow. They don't know what your plan is for them. They don't know what's wrong with them. And they're going to pray and do their best, but they're a little bit slow. He says, what about this? What if we could make a way where I could do their praying for them? Because I know your plan for their life. Now, right here with this thought, go to 1 Corinthians, back up to chapter 2. Look at verse 12. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Did you notice how they got it right in this one? They got a little S both times there. That's correct. See what it's talking about there when he says now, this group of people that Paul's writing this letter to, he's the one that led them to the Lord. These are born again people. So he's saying now that you've been born again, now you've not received the spirit of the world. What's that? That's that fallen nature that every child is born with. It's passed down from Adam and Eve to the next generation, from that generation to the next generation. Every child on planet Earth is born with that sin nature on the inside of them. And here it's called the spirit of the world. In Romans, writing to the Jews, he said he called it the spirit of fear. But here he's calling it the spirit which is of the world. It's the spirit of Adam. It's not Adam's own human spirit. He had his own human spirit. But it's the nature, it's that sin nature that's birthed in all of us. But he says, now once you've been born again, you receive not the spirit of the world. Now you've received a new nature. It's a spirit from Christ, and it's a spirit of God. You have become God's actual offspring in the spirit. And because you are, now you have a capacity. It says, now we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. If you write in your Bible, I'd encourage you to write in the margin, inheritance. That's your inheritance he's talking about. See, until a person gets born again, there's really only one message for a lost person, and that's Christ and him crucified. My ministry as a teacher doesn't begin until the evangelist work is done. You know, get them saved. I only have one message for the sinner, Christ and him crucified. You must be born again. We don't have anything to talk about. You don't have a nature on the inside of you to even have a capacity to understand these things. But see, once they've been born again and they've got a spirit which is from God, now you can come to a classroom like this and I can talk to you and you have a capacity to understand these things. But now notice who the teacher is. This all ties right back in with where we started. He says, now we have received not the Adamic spirit, not that spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but notice, which the Holy Ghost teaches. Who did Jesus say was the teacher? The Holy Ghost teaches. See, I'm here tonight teaching you things that I have heard from the Holy Ghost. So we're teaching things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unborn again man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Now get that. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The whole church, the reason the church is split up into Heinz 57 different kinds is because the whole reason for that is man trying to mentally understand God. He tells you right there, you can't be done. These things are spiritually discerned, and that's why the Holy Spirit is the true teacher of the body of Christ. How do you activate that teaching ministry? Well, yes, you read the Word. All of them read the Word. But see, in school, I don't know how, I think it's the same way in Canada. When I went to school, they gave you a book, but they also gave you a teacher. God did it. Do you know where that's a good idea. You know who originated it? God. He gave us a book and He gave us a teacher, but for the large part, the church has ignored the teacher. And man, in his arrogance, thinks he can understand mentally an infinite God without the teacher that God assigned. And that's why we're in the fractured nature that we're in. You've got to humble yourself and sit at the feet of the true teacher of body of Christ, and that is the Holy Ghost Himself. How would I do that, Brother Gary? I recommend spending some time praying in that unknown tongue, letting the Holy Spirit pray those mysteries through you, beginning to understand things. Now, because He goes on here now, He says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, now see, you start letting the Holy Ghost teach you, you're going to become a spiritual person. In the King James it says, judges all things, and that's a bad translation. It really means discerns all things. You look it up in any other translation, it'll be discerns all things. Yet he himself is, other people are going to think you're strange. They can't figure you out. They can't figure out why you do the things that you do. Well, you've got a different teacher than they have. You're doing things that have been taught by the Holy Ghost. So it ends up, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How did you get the mind of Christ? Leave it in the context. You let the Holy Spirit become your teacher. He starts bringing you the mind of Christ. That's exactly what Jesus said he was going to do in John 14, 15 and 16. We have the mind of Christ. How did you know to come to Oshawa and say no to the other invitations? I heard from the Lord. I've got invitation. I can be gone all the time without trying. You know, we have so many invitations. I could be booked up for the till Jesus comes or till I go to be there. I have to hear from the Lord, and it makes people mad sometimes, you know. You notice He doesn't always send me to the largest churches? You think I care? Think I care at all about that? The only thing that matters to me is when I lay my head on the pillow. Lord, did I obey you today? Did I hear your voice today? I'm here for my spanking. If I didn't, Lord, correct me, because I don't want to make a mistake again tomorrow. You know? What he wants me to do now is give you some experience. Okay, so I could go on a lot more. That's enough for tonight to whet your appetite. You see the basic fundamental principle here? The Holy Spirit, because we don't know what to pray as we ought, God assigned the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And the genius of it, God says, well, look, we can just bypass that intellect. And the Holy Spirit, He does know the plan. They'll let Him pray. He'll articulate that prayer right through them. And they don't have to even know my plan, because He knows the plan. And He'll start praying the perfect will of God. So not only is your teacher, He's also your guide. Exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. Now, so we're hearing this at the prayer center. We're hearing Pastor Dave teach these things. I'll be honest with you, because we had been so hurt in the other church, Pastor Dave seemed like a nice fella. He didn't seem like he was going to hurt me, but neither did the last pastor that hurt me. So I didn't trust him. So I had a job as a truck driver in those days, a long-haul truck driver. By the way, I got to deliver in Canada a lot of times. All around Medicine Hat and Montreal and over Toronto. And I went as far up as Quebec City. I've delivered in Quebec City quite a few times. So I'm a long-haul trucker. I'm gone on the road a lot. Well, I'm listening to those cassette tapes at first because I want to make sure I understand what he's teaching. And I would check them out. See, I delivered those trucks, and then they would fly me home. So I spent a lot of times in airports and on airplanes. And so I'd listen to those tapes going out, and I'd make notes. I'd write down, okay, check out this scripture, check out that scripture. On the way back, I was checking them out. You know, everybody else in the waiting areas at the airports, everybody else had Newsweek and USA Today and People Magazine, and I got a big old Bible out. I'm going through it, and I don't care. And I studied this message for 6 months. And I told Sue, I said, I can't find anything wrong with this. I said, he's not lifting verses out of its setting. It makes sense to me. So after about 6 months, we started at the prayer center in June of 1992. In December of 1992, I made this commitment to the Lord. See, the life of a long-haul trucker, I used to say 40 hours a week, and that's really not exactly right. You normally are in the cab of that truck about 60 to 70 hours a week. Then I said, Lord, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck anyway. I'm going to turn off the CB radio. I'm going to turn off the regular radio. And Lord, if I'm in the cab of this truck, I want to make it my prayer closet. And I'm just going to start praying in other tongues. And seeing what, just what little I shared with you tonight, I expected certain things to begin happening. Number one, I expected to start being taught. Says here, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. And he told us, if you start praying in other tongues, you can expect by vision, by revelation, by voice, by whatever method, you expect him to start becoming your teacher. Okay? And then also, I expected eventually to start getting his leadership, So all I know is I'm going to start praying in tongues, And so I made that commitment. Doesn't that sound easy? If I'm stuck in the cab of this truck, I'm just going to be praying in other tongues. Doesn't that sound easy? Well, I start praying, Seemed dry, and Shonda labakusanda rebrestos kiri andora lakuri, soyandota labrato mancuri. I'm thinking, okay, now I've got an 8-hour shift right in front of me here. I'm going to pray in tongues for 8 hours. Shonda labakuri andisto honk honk. Now, see, the wonderful thing about it, you're praying in tongues from your spirit. We could look at 1 Corinthians 14 a little further down. It says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. The understanding is unfruitful. It's bypassing your mind at that point. The Holy Spirit's applying the language, but it's your spirit doing the praying. It's really, so your soul, your intellect is free to focus on whatever it is you're doing. And aren't you glad if I'm driving an 80,000 pound rig down the road through Memphis? I can see what I'm doing and everything, but I can pray in the spirit. And, your first thought is, okay, I'm going to do this for 8 hours. After a little while, I'm driving honk honk and, get out of the way, you idiot. I'm not praying in tongues. 5 minutes? Oh, God. And at first, my mind would drift, I intended to keep praying, but I'd catch myself thinking about the football season, about my lovely Sue, about something, and you'd come to yourself, and I'd realize I'd quit praying. And I didn't know how long I'd quit praying. Well, what do you do? There's nothing else to do. Oops. Sorry, Lord. Let me get back to it. Now, I do this on purpose. Hour one goes by. No beam of light. No sound of Gabriel's trumpet. No brush of an angel's wing. I haven't heard nothing. Well, I did hear something. Here's what I heard. This is stupid. This is not accomplishing anything. What do you think is going to happen? Just you mumbling these syllables that don't accomplish nothing? Nothing is going to happen. What's wrong with you? This pastor's crazier than the other pastor. Those are the kind of thoughts I was hearing, but I am a persistent cuss. And once I make up my mind to something, I pretty well stick with it. But my mind would drift. I had to come back probably 100 times that first few hours. That drift, I'd come back. All you can do, I'm sorry, Lord, I want to start again. Praying in other tongues, and I do it on purpose. Hour one, hear nothing. Hour two, heard nothing. Hour three, actually it was a 10-hour shift. Hour three, heard nothing. Doing it his own purpose. Hour four, Shandala Bakosan. By this time, has anything begin to happen? Yes, I was losing my voice. And I didn't know any better at first. I was going, Shandala Bakosanda. You'll find out quickly. This works too. Sandara Bakosandara Hishadabakuri. God's not hard of hearing, and what matters is the words. What matters is the prayer. That's what really matters, you know, is the prayer. This prayer is designed to be answered. See, but hour five, hour six, hour seven. Was anything to begin to happen? Yes, it was. Dry throat, parched mouth, and I still hear, this isn't doing anything. Nothing is happening. This is wasting your time. You should be better off. You'd be better off listening to the radio. Yeah, right. Hour seven, hour eight, hour nine, had not heard a thing. Hour nine went by. I thank God. And I really felt like quitting. I only had 1 hour left on this shift. I really felt like quitting after hour nine. 9 hours, hadn't heard. See, it took me all the way back to the beginning, the day I got saved. Thank God for Michael teaching me what faith is. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the Word of God. See? And I've been studying it for 6 months. I had it in me. If I pray, the Holy Spirit will teach me. The Holy Spirit will... I'm just communicating mysteries. 9 hours, I'm going to keep going anyway. I'm just going to keep going. Thank God I didn't quit at the end of that ninth hour. Somewhere during that tenth hour. Now I'm still driving. I'm still praying. And all of a sudden, this little movie begins to play in my mind. I call them teaching visions. Now, it's not the kind, thank God, if you're driving an 80,000-pound rig, it's not the kind like Peter had on the rooftop and fell over in a trance. I'm glad it was. Ah! But it's like a movie, you know, that plays in your mind, and like a memory you have. But I can see it. And in this, I still remember the first one. I'll never forget it till the day I die. There was this man that appeared. I saw him just like standing on the Bonneville salt flats that we have out there in Utah. And it was just standing on a flat plain, and he was looking up in the sky, and there were these like circles, like clouds where clouds would normally be. There were these circles, and written on the circles were these wonderful things, things like love, salvation, healing, peace, joy, prosperity, everything in the world you could think of that mankind wants. And he's down on earth, and he's looking up and seeing those things, and he wants those things. So in this little movie's playing in my mind, he's jumping, you know, trying to reach up and grab a hold of these things. It'd be about as useless as a guy trying to jump up and touch a cloud, you know. But in the movie, he starts mounding up dirt. He's trying to mound up dirt, you know, and he gets up on the dirt, and then he starts jumping. And in this little movie, he just keeps doing all these things, trying to obtain, by his own effort, what's in those circles. And he can't do it. Finally, he gives up. And in this vision, these lines, these little like pencil lines, start coming from the clouds, the circles, down to the man. And whatever was in the circle is flowing down that line like to the guy, like salvation. Love is flowing to him from that circle down to him. Peace is flowing to him. Love is flowing to him. And I'm going, well, whatever those lines are, that's the secret. That's the key to receiving whatever's in those clouds. And at that moment in this vision, it's like suddenly it just zoomed in for me, and there was a word written on every line. And that word was faith. And I understood faith in a way I've never understood it before. Everything God has provided is free. You can't work for it. There's nothing you can do by your self-efforts to ever get any of it. But it's all free, but the only way to receive it is by faith. Now, is that good stuff or what? Now, well, with me, those were the days when I didn't have we had a computer, but we didn't know much about it yet. And I didn't have a voice recorder. That was before the days of cell phones or anything. But I did have a little spiral notebook with me. So the very next chance I had, I pulled that rig over, and I got my little spiral out. And I can't draw with a hoot, but I can draw a little stick man. So I drew that vision the best I could, a little stick man and the pencil lines and everything. And I wrote it out real quick, and because I figured, I knew it was God. I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And I figured, if God the Holy Ghost is going to be good enough to come and teach me, I would at least have enough respect to record it. I can remember the next one. The next one that happened wasn't a vision. See, visions are one way that he teaches. The next one, I'm praying and praying and praying, you know, and time goes by. I still remember the second one like that. To you, when you hear this, it'll sound like pablum, like, okay. But to me at the time, it was great revelation knowledge, because to me at that time, okay, Moses, law, right? Moses, law, Jesus, grace, okay? I heard this voice. I heard it just as clear as you're hearing my voice, and I think I can still repeat it word for word. The salvation that came to the Jews through Moses, the deliverance from Egypt, was certainly not by the law, for the law had not yet been given. To me, if you check it out, they get delivered. They go across the Red Sea. They're delivered from Egypt, and Pharaoh drowns. After that is when Moses receives the law. I didn't know that in those days. And the Holy Spirit knew I didn't know that in those days. I had to go check it out, find out if that was right. And I went, can I say doggone in church? Doggone! That's really right. And for the first time, I saw that Moses was a type of Jesus. God did all the work through one man. Israel couldn't get themselves free. They'd been in bondage for over 400 years. They didn't do any work for it to happen. God did all the work through one man. And he says, you want to be free? Come follow me. Is that not a type of Jesus? God does all the work through one man. He says, you want to be free? Come follow me. That was the beginning. I mean, you start having those kind of things start happening to you, you get hungry for the next one. Finally, something real was beginning to happen. I was hearing from a source that I'd never known of before. And I mean, it was just, all I did was just begin releasing that language, allowing the Holy Spirit, just like it says in Romans 8, 26 and 27, to begin making intercession for me. And sure enough, he started off becoming my teacher. Started off with visions and voices and teaching me things that I'd really never heard before. He taught me faith using an elm tree, which I don't have time to go into great detail, but he knew that I knew the entire life cycle of this elm tree. It started when I was a young man working for my dad years ago. This little sapling kept coming up, and I kept mowing it down. Dad says, quit mowing that thing down. We need a tree right there for shade. So he had me build a little white picket fence around the thing so I would quit mowing it down. Well, I watched that thing grow through its whole life. That thing got so big that you had to, if you wanted to reach around it, you had to mark, you know, chalk and mark, you know, reach this far, chalk, go again. I mean, the trunk was massive on that thing. And then eventually we had an elm disease come through and it killed it. Guess who had to cut it down? Guess who had to haul it away? And I mean, it was like 10, 11 pickup loads. And I'm going, where? I remember when this thing was that big. I'd mowed it down how many times? I remember when this was just this little thing. Where did all this substance come from? One day I began to hear the Holy Spirit on that. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It started with a little seed in the ground. But the substance of that tree came from a realm you can't see. It came from underground. All of the nutrients, all of the, I don't know what all's in wood, what all's in there, manganese, and I don't know what, all these different things that are in it. But I mean, from an unseen realm came substance from a tiny seed. God's Word is the seed. He is the source. The realm of the Spirit is unseen. But if you have faith, you can draw substance from the realm of God. And your healing, or whatever it is, will manifest in this world. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can have so much substance, it'll take you 9 pickups to haul it off. But it comes through the seed. That seed is God's Word. Well, now today, I'm already over an hour. I hope this began the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those lessons continued. I didn't quit. I had opportunities to, and maybe we'll get into some more of it tomorrow night. But I kept recording those lessons, and they kept coming. They still come to this day if I do my part, if I allow Him to. And it's coupled with some other things, like learning how to really meditate the Word of God finely in whole images, not fragmenting it and lifting verses out of its setting. It comes with other things, obedience to the Holy Spirit. We'll get into maybe some of that. But now, I haven't yet got into much of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So let me whet your appetite. I want you to come back. Who would have guessed? I mean, I'm just starting. Who knew that contained in those prayers I was letting him pray? See, I didn't know at that time he was going to have me preach the Word of God in Europe, preach the Word of God all over the USA, preach the Word of God into the Zulus in Africa. Are you kidding? I have seen cancers healed. I have seen all manner of sickness and disease healed. I've seen people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's had me preach in South Korea 6 years in a row. Who would have ever dreamed all of that was in those prayers? I'm just going to start letting the Holy Spirit make intercession for me. And it didn't take him very long. I mean, I was already 45 when I started hearing this message. And it didn't take him very long. As soon as I started allowing him to pray, he started moving me towards that perfect will of God. Let's see, now Gary's called to Europe. Gary's called to Asia. Gary's called to South Africa. And Gary's called to Oshawa. I didn't know all of that. I didn't know. How would you know to pray those things? But the Holy Spirit, He knows how to. So maybe tomorrow night we'll get more into where the... Tonight I started whetting the appetite about teacher. Soon we'll get into talking about his leadership.